happen apart from you. It's not going to happen apart from your Spirit. So we say, Holy Spirit, come and have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're going to be in Psalms today. If you have a Bible with you or a phone with you, we're going to be looking at Psalm 65 today. We're not going to have it on the screen because it is participatory. And so Psalms is in the middle of the Bible, almost exactly. And we're going to be Psalm 65. Would you guys read along with me? You don't have to read out loud. You can just read silently because we have different translations, so it would be kind of hard. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all people shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near. Wherever we were with the last one, we can just leave it there. Yep, that's perfect. We'll just go full bore lights. Yes, done. You who forgive our transgressions of adjusting the lights. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and of your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you established the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at the earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows close themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. So we're going to enter into this psalm together, and we are going to worship God together through this. This starts off, praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you vows shall be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all people shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. So this is a reminder of the type of God, which God we are worshiping this morning. We are worshiping the God who is perfectly revealed in Jesus. As we hear this, praise is due to you, O God in Zion, you who answers prayers. Some of us might be living in a place that seems apart from answered prayer and apart from the goodness of God. That we're living in the midst of the brokenness of this world. As we look around us, we can see everything is difficult and shattered. You watch the news and it can be hard. So entering into this when we look at the brokenness can be really difficult. But what is amazing is that the God that we serve is a God who never intended the world to be broken. That he created the world to be a perfect place of love and unity. Of love and unity with God and with one another. But through sin, we ended up in this broken place where we are. But God is a God who is due worship because not only did he never intend the evil and brokenness that we experience, but he is a God who sets us free from that death and disease and brokenness. That he sent Jesus to live a perfect life and demonstrate what that unity can look like, what a perfect life lived with the Father can be for humans. Then he died on a cross, taking the weight of sin on himself, bearing that burden and breaking the power of sin to set us free from this death and brokenness. This is the God that we are worshiping. The God who doesn't require us to clean ourselves up, who doesn't require us to work really hard, who doesn't require us to find our own freedom. The only thing that he requires his people to do to exit from brokenness is to turn from trying to earn it on their own, to turn from trying to create their own salvation or kill the pain themselves, and look to Jesus and believe that he has the way and the truth, that he is the one who can save us from the death and brokenness that surrounds us. The God that we worship requires us only to turn from trying to do it ourselves and to trust Jesus to set us free from the brokenness that surrounds us, and promises us a life of growth and meaning as we are in his presence and moving closer to him, of being restored back to a perfect relationship with Jesus. This is the God that we are serving, the one who even commissions us and sends us back to help rescue people from death and disease and pain and cycles of brokenness. Praise is due to God in Zion because he is unfailingly good, that he is unimaginably powerful, that he sets us free from sin and death and gives us eternal life by taking on all the pain himself in his son Jesus. It says, to you vows shall be performed, you who answer prayer, everyone will come to you. The Bible says, when Jesus is lifted high, all men will come. Everyone will come to Jesus when he is lifted high, because the reality of Jesus is the most amazing thing in the universe, that it is God made flesh and dwelt among us and set us free from the very real pain, the very real darkness that we experience, that we are surrounded by, that we are affected by. All flesh will come when Jesus is lifted high because he is an amazing reality. And when deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, when we are stuck in the cycles of brokenness that we can't get out of, when we are stuck in sin, when we are stuck in trying to kill pain, when we are stuck in trying to set ourselves free from death, God forgives us and forgives our transgressions. And as he forgives us, happy are those whom he has chosen to bring near and to live in his courts, to live in a redeemed reality of life with God. And that it is not a false promise. I don't know if you guys have tried to set yourself free from the broken world, to set yourself free and found that it ends up actually not always setting you free when you do it on your own. Maybe you pursue success and money, or a career, or the right kind of clothes and fashion to get you into a place where you can feel cool. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I had these jean shorts and this t-shirt that I thought were so cool. And I thought that as I donned these jean shorts and this striped t-shirt, that when I went to school, all of a sudden, I would be the coolest person. The reality was, even though it was the 90s and jean shorts were, I don't know, I mean, maybe okay, it did not magically transform me into this really cool sixth grader, no matter how much I imagined it would. God's promises are not false promises. I don't know if you've been on the hunt for deep and meaningful intimacy, to be accepted by someone else, to be loved and cherished by someone else, so you end up sleeping with people before your marriage, on the hunt for intimacy, looking for meaning, looking for fulfillment, desiring to be met, and found that you are even lonelier on the other side of the relationship than when you first entered in. I don't know if you've dealt with the false promises of setting yourself free, of just trying to be good enough, and the crushing weight of anxiety that comes with trying to be good enough, good enough in school and good enough to your friends and good enough at church and volunteering enough for everything, and just that constant weight and spinning of trying to be enough and trying to do enough and trying to work hard enough, and realizing that what you get there is not freedom, that false promise of responsibility ends up putting you into a place of joylessness and anxiety. There are so many other things. The desire for a really fun time and drinking way too much and having a really bad rest of your weekend as you're hungover. The false promises of being set free from the death and brokenness around you. But the promise of the gospel, the promise of Jesus, is not a false promise. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. That God is actually satisfying. That we are happy when we are brought near to him. That as we are in his presence and we are set free from death, we can be satisfied with himself. It is not a false promise. And so here we are. Praise is due to God in Zion. And to you our vows shall be performed, you who answer prayer. All people will come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. And happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and of your holy temple. And so one thing that we do every week here is that we take communion to remember who the God is that we serve. That as we take communion, we remember that we serve the God who came and was made flesh, that was made man, that bore the weight of sin and death, and willingly, for the joy set before him, went to the cross so that you could be set free from death, and so that you could be set free from the chains of addiction and the things that you feel like you could never get free from the depression and from the anxiety and from the hopelessness, that Jesus came and is breaking that free, and he broke that free on the cross. He is the God that requires nothing but our trust in him to turn from trying to do it ourselves and to receive his free gift. That is the God that we serve. And so we're going to pass communion. And if you are a Christian, if you are someone who has given your life to Jesus and said, yes, I am done trying to earn my own salvation. I'm done trying to kill my own pain. I'm done trying to do this myself. I'm receiving the free gift of life and salvation in Jesus. Please take the bread and the cup to remember that Jesus died for you. His body was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. And that the grave could not hold him. And that he rose again in new life. And that he is sharing that new life with you who are Christians and have your faith and hope in him. And if you find yourself not yet there, if you're not there, if you're not in a place to say, you know what, I am free. I feel that, yes, my trust is in Jesus, not myself. If you feel like you are still surrounded by brokenness, if you have not put your trust in Jesus yet, take something better than the bread and the cup. Take a chance to consider and just ask Jesus, pray, say, Lord, are you the better way? To say, Jesus, are you the better way? And he is here and ready to give you life in him and to set you free from the death and brokenness that surrounds you. So if you'll pass the communion, that would be great. You guys can have a seat. The amazing reality is that God does not just fix us up. He doesn't just patch over what's broken. That we are new creations in Christ. That we shed what is old and broken and what is new and whole comes. We are not almost rescued. We're not just sort of taken care of. That when we are in Christ, we are welcomed into God's family as his child. The King of the universe welcomes us in as his children and takes care of us and creates us anew. So God is the God who saves us, exhibited best in Jesus, the source of our salvation. He is the God who delivers us from our fears, delivers us from the power of the enemy, delivers us from the effects of the fall. He is capable of doing so, and he is a lavish and abundant God. And so he doesn't just do enough. He's not a God of just enough. He is the God of more than enough. He's not a God who created one kind of vegetable that sustains us. He is the God who created thousands of different flavors so that we can enjoy food. He is not the God that created trees, one type of tree that drops its leaves, but he created trees that change colors and have vibrant, different, beautiful characteristics and useful characteristics. He is the God of more than enough. He is the God who does not just keep us from going to hell, but he is the God who creates new life and eternal life in us now, who lets us start living the heavenly life now as he gives his Spirit to us as a down payment of our eternal life. He is not the God of just enough. He is the God of more than enough. And in 65:9, we see that you visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water, and that is an allegory for his life, that living water flows forth from his throne, and it quenches those of you who are spiritually thirsty, and it provides sustenance in life, and it is full of water. It is not shallow. God's life is deep and abundant. You provide the people with grain, that is food. You provide us with sustenance. For so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with a gentle rain, and blessing growth. And he blesses the growth of you, his children, as you are in Jesus. He blesses you to grow and flourish and bear fruit. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. It is a picture of God's wagon going to market so full that stuff is falling off of it into the tracks behind it. That the path behind God is full of life because wherever he walks and wherever he goes, he brings life. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. And they shout and sing for joy together. So this morning we're going to sing a few more songs of worship that Ralph is going to lead us in. And in that time, if you are in a place where, first of all, if you feel like you have not exited the brokenness, if you have not accepted the gift of Jesus, if you are still trying to earn it on your own or escape it on your own, there is good news that there is a Savior who is here today who wants to set you free and show you a better way. So as we're singing, if you want to come up for prayer and to receive that, please do. If you are a Christian and if you are in a place where you feel like God's abundance is not enough for you, and if you're feeling unmet and specifically unmet in the area of anxiety, or just like you feel like God just does not see you or does not meet you, and that, yeah, maybe he saved me, but I'm not close to him, we would love to pray for you as well during this time of worship. So please feel free to come up for that or anything else that God lays on your heart. God loves, he's the God who answers our prayers and delivers us. And so come up, receive prayer. He will answer your prayers and he will deliver you today in Jesus' name. Father, you are a good father, and you love your children. Father, I ask that this week that we would be made more aware of your love and pleasure and deliverance that is in you. God, would you bless these people? Would you bless your children this week with love and with your power? and with your presence, would you reveal to them just how good of a father you are, just how capable you are, just how full of blessing and goodness you are. Would you show them the abundance of your love? Would you let them walk in that and be surprised by it? Would you meet them and surprise them with your love this week? God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that you are a God that is worth worshiping, that you are a God that is worth knowing, that you are a God that is capable of saving us, and that you love us. God, we love you, and we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I put my Bible somewhere. A small homework assignment this week, the next Psalm, Psalm 66, would you guys take some time this week and spend time in it and try to live that Psalm? It's great because it has breaks in it and it says Selah, which is a great place to pause and reflect. So whenever it says Selah, pause and reflect, Psalm 66. Guys, we love you. We're so glad that you're here. If any of you guys want prayer, please, a couple of us will be up at the front. Dylan, my wife Jessica, Austin, a couple of us will be up here. We'd love to talk to you or pray with you if anything struck you at all. Or if you are curious about faith and someone brought you here today, talk to them after this because I think God has some words for them to give to you. God bless you. Thank you for being here.